Good morning. It's 9 minutes past 11. Tommy Robinson, leader of the English Defence League, is sitting in front of me, and there are a whole heap of people that want to speak to you, Tommy, this morning here on the BBC Asian Network. Ajit is one of them from Leicester. Ajit, good morning.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
I'm very well, mate. What would you like to ask Tommy?
My question is, he's got a problem with Muslims, Islams today. Who's next? Sikhs, Hindus?
Oh, boring. Right, I have a problem with the Islamic ideology. I don't have a problem with any other ideology. Are Sikhs, Hindus, Jews, are they butchering? Are they killing anyone? Are they running any grooming gangs? Are they planting bombs? Every other week are we seeing them being arrested for terrorism?
So you're against Islamic extremism?
The Islamist ideology, 7th century.
Be clear, yes. You're not against
taking
Muslims?
Taking the Quran to its literal word, yeah.
What I'm saying is, he's got issues to Islam, Muslims.
No.
Is he going to have a problem with Sikhs?
No, you're talking to someone who's from Luton Town here.
The problem is, though, Tommy, is that some of your supporters may just not be able to distinguish between who is who.
And,
of course, the worry is that there is a danger that all Muslims will be tainted with this same ideology that you hate so much. You will try, or your followers will try and taint all Muslims. Actually, and you know that not to be true, don't you?
Of course I do. If you listen to what we say, yeah, I talk about the Ahmadiyya sect, and the more I read into them and see how they're persecuted, and if we've got any Muslims on here, I'd like to ask why they're not allowed to go to Mecca. I'd like to ask, why are they persecuted? I'd like to ask, when there's a mosque application in the Midlands, why there's 900 people signed signatures against it, 850 of them are Muslim. So it's okay for you and members of your community not to want a mosque built because it's a different sex, but it's not okay when we're concerned about the Sharia that's being pushed through the mosques.
Why do you want to stop mosques being built?
I just don't think we should add to the problem that's in this country. I think it's going to take us 20, 30
years. Why is mosque building?
I think it's going to take us 20, 30 years to solve the problems that are already here. By building more mosques and having no way of... I believe they should be regulated in a similar way to schools. When you have the Ofsted reports and you have schools are regulated, I believe mosques should be. I don't believe we should have tribalistic preachers who are in a cave in Afghanistan one day and within a week they're talking and influencing the form of Islam that's going out through the mosque. I believe that it needs to be tackled.
Which particular preacher from a cave in Afghanistan are you talking about?
Name
one.
We have every single time you look up on the East London Mosque, you see who's coming over to talk. They're all these
cave in Afghanistan.
Well, you get the gist I'm saying.
Because that's actually quite extreme,
isn't it? And
insulting, because there are, of course, imams coming who have studied the Quran, who've come from Pakistan and Bangladesh. Yeah. And you're absolutely right to a certain extent in that Muslim callers to this very show have said that they would much rather have British-born imams. But, of course, it's not, unfortunately, a very well-paid job, and a lot of British Muslims are not actually flocking towards doing it.
I'm not saying ban building mosques indefinitely. What I'm saying is...
For the next 30 years?
Let's stop it until it's reformed, until it's working. Islam and Sharia is not working.
But you, at one point, say... You're not tarring Muslims with the same brush. But then, on the other hand, you're saying, stop building mosques until they sort their ideology out. Surely then you're saying, by implication, that all mosques are preaching hate.
No, I'm not, no.
Why stop them?
I'm saying that they're all promoting Sharia law, but I'm saying we need to not add to the problem. What's the point in adding to the problem? Why are we adding to a problem that you can't even tackle already? It's already out of control. And we should not be allowing foreign bodies, as Saudi Arabia and Qatar, to fund Islamic institutions in this country.
And again, there are plenty of Muslims that have a real problem with Wahhabism.
Yeah, but there's...
A real problem with Wahhabism and Salafism. They do. Let's speak to Omar Metab in Ilford, who got in contact with this. Omar, what would you like to ask Tommy?
Morning, Tommy. Morning. What I'd like to ask is that you seem to be disregarding everything that is, you know, being said about you in reports and what else, previous recordings. What you said during the show and what I've picked up on is that you never spoke out against Islamic extremism. You said Islam. You said, and you can look past the recording, you know, you can look back at the recording if you want. You said, I can freely think negatively about Islam.
I can if I want you.
Islam. No. You said Islam.
But even if I want to feel freely and be negative towards Islam, I can.
You're saying it.
But then is that not Islamophobic?
Well, of course it's not, because if I don't agree with Christianity...
Can we get a clearer line for Omar, actually? Because it's quite difficult to hear him.
If I'm against Scientology, no one says anything about that. Why is everyone... It's like Islam is an ideology, yeah? It's not a religion. It's got everything in it. It's an ideology. It's my God-given right.
It's a way of life for many, many people in this country.
And it's this country's way of life, with freedom of speech for people to criticise it.
Fun fact about Islam. Islam believe in the same God as Christians and Jewish people do.
No, according to you, they do.
The same God. What's the problem, then? You're saying that we have a totally different ideology to you guys.
The problem is Sharia.
That isn't true.
The problem is Sharia. The problem is extremism. The problem is the way you interpret it. The problem is Salafi. The problem is Wahhabi. The problem is terrorism. The problem is female genital mutation. The problem is all these symptoms that come from Islam. They're the problems.
Omar?
What I'm asking you, Tommy, is I'm saying that you haven't said Islamic extremism. You said Islam.
The Islamist ideology, yeah.
What you're doing is you're taking the culture that is born from the religion, unfortunately, by some misguided people, and you're painting everyone with the same brush around.
No, what I'm saying is that Islam as an ideology is not peaceful. It's not.
Why isn't it peaceful? I'm quite peaceful.
Yeah, you may be peaceful, but the ideology's not.
Right, so whatever. Well, no, I live by the ideology.
No, the ideology's not peaceful.
Did not Christians spend centuries on crusades, burning and killing and maiming and pillaging?
But where does that take away from the fact that the Islam is...
Did not George W. Bush use the word crusade himself when he was going out to invade Iraq?
What I'm saying is, Muhammad was not peaceful. Muhammad was not peaceful. So it's like...
Do you know the guy? He's 1,600 years ago. Do you know the guy?
No, but I know what he did, and it wasn't peaceful.
How do you know that?
Because I read your surahs.
Knew the guy.
I read your scripture.
There are examples in the Quran. And look, I don't want to get into a Quranic discussion here because we don't have an imam here.
Yeah, all I'm saying is, but for me to say Islam's not peaceful, it's not.
Out of context...
No, I'm not taking out of context.
When a religion was formed and it spread...
It spread with war.
And through defence, of course, because people were attacking it. The Prophet Muhammad was attacked constantly.
Maybe he was, but
constantly.
There's no denying the fact it was spread with violence.
The religion and then spread. So, it's a proselytizing religion, like your religion. Christianity is a proselytizing
religion. You can't leave Islam. As an apostate of Islam, is punishable by death. All these different things. It's like that. I'm just pointing out a fact. It's not peaceful.
An interpretation.
I'm talking about the Prophet Muhammad. He was not a peaceful man. He was not a peaceful man.
Okay.
Let Omar come in.
Omar?
Please, yes, thank you. Muhammad was a person who spread the religion, and during times of conflict, he fought back. Yeah, he either fought or fought back.
He wasn't peaceful, was he?
Sorry?
He wasn't peaceful. He didn't say turn the other cheek, did he?
Are you peaceful, Tommy?
He didn't say turn the other cheek, did he?
Your convictions and your past, are you a peaceful person?
But there's not a religion built on me, is there? And if there was a religion built
seems to be an organisation being built around you, and I don't know if there is a cult of personality around you.
All I'm saying is Muhammad was not a peaceful man.
Okay, Omar.
That's a fact.
Omar, let's leave it there because I've got so many people to go to. Let's speak to Alan in Middlesex. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. Morning, Tommy.
Good morning.
Morning, Tom. Listen, I watched the free speech the other night, yeah?
Yep.
And I was disgusted by the fact that you was trying to show threats to your wife and family, and all they were asking...
She supported them.
Do you have a question for Tommy, Alan?
Yeah, the question is about whether he gets treated fairly when he actually gets a chance to go on a show.
Do you feel he's being treated fairly today, Alan?
No, you're not letting me talk now. You're doing the same as well.
I just want you to either ask a question or
Tommy, do I feel like I'm treated fairly? Well,
I just speak to people, yeah? When you're asked a question...
The problem in this country is, when you have that debate show the other day, on such a serious issue at the moment...
Can we not discuss free speech? We're not here to discuss another BBC show.
On these serious issues about...
OK, I'll ask a different question then. What the question is it not your wife and family's, their health and safety, is that not more important, and the threats that you had in writing that you could have showed somebody, is that not important than someone going to a Bengali restaurant and saying hello in Bengali and getting free poppadoms?
Well, this is everything on that show and everything at present is what's wrong with this country, that you can't voice a concern. I went on that show to have some progressive talk and dialogue to say about these issues that need tackling.
Can we not focus on the failings of that show? I get what you're saying.
Even why I'm here now. I'm not here. Your listeners, the majority of people I want to attract are working class people. Majority of people are probably listening to this and Muslim and ringing up with things against me. I'm still here. I'm here to put away misconceptions and to have some dialogue and get these forefront.
And are you being treated differently to how you were?
I'm fine. I'm fine with how I'm being treated. But at the same time, with the BBC and in general, there's an agenda.
Well, the agenda is for you to be robustly interviewed and challenged on your views. Now, you don't have an issue with that, do you?
Well, it depends. No, not with why I'm here, but...
Robustly challenged on your opinion.
Of course I don't know.
Well, there you
but
go.
But not
then.
What he's talking
let's,
about.
Let's speak to Sarah in Manchester. Hello, Sarah.
Hello. Hi, Tommy.
Hiya.
Salam and peace and blessings upon you, Tommy.
Salam alaikum.
I just want to put it to you, Tom, because you've got quite a few different identities. I live in Ashton, Underline, and that's where some of the people who hold you in quite high esteem are doing a demo this weekend. I have evidence where I've been called the P word. I'm not allowed to say it on air. I've been threatened that I should go and commit suicide, that I should be burned alive. These are people who hold you in quite high esteem, Tommy. So what do you say to those people?
Well, the English Defence League haven't been to Ashton yet. So when have they said this to you?
This is on Saturday. I can give you the link. It's on Facebook.
Oh, on Facebook. Give over.
Okay, but Sarah's point. But Tommy, you know what Sarah's point is? Is that there are people who purport to idolise you and think of you as their leader, perhaps, who will, in the street, be outrageously, disgustingly racist to someone like Sarah. Now, she's not making that up.
Footage.
I'm not making it up.
So, do you think she's making it up?
Just one. I can't say. To be honest, with all this, I feel that Islam plays the victim very well in this country.
No, Tommy.
Even after Woolwich, all of a sudden it's Islam that's the victim.
I pay my taxes. I've worked all my life.
And if people are talking to you in that way, it's disgusting and it's disgraceful.
You're not British. You will never be English enough because your mother is Asian. For the first time...
My mother's Irish.
59 years of my life, my mother was terrified. How do you explain that to her, Tommy? How do you explain it to me and my children who now have to change our lifestyles? When we are British, I don't wear a hijab, Tommy. There's nothing about me that's...
No one's saying anything to you if you ain't wearing a hijab.
That's how I treat people. So I'm asking you, as a fellow human being, as a brother, that's how I see you in Islam. Somebody's called...
Oh, you see me as a brother, even though I'm an infidel and a kafir.
To be burned.
I'm a kafir.
And they've called people who defended me to say this is dishonourable, what you're doing. Even normal indigenous white people are being called the C word. Four letters, last word.
Yeah, I think we know what you mean, Sarah.
See you next Tuesday.
Yes, Sarah?
Yes.
I mean, clearly
if that has happened, it's disgraceful. It's unacceptable.
Can you give me a guarantee that you're going to go on to Facebook on that page? It's English Defence League, Ashton Underline. There's 1,300 people who've liked it. Can you make a statement?
It's a lot of people in a day, isn't it?
They keep asking, is Tommy the Prince going to be here? You're starting a cult, Tommy. You're starting...
No, Mohammed started a cult.
...the UK. But normal people who just want to get on with their lives...
Excuse me. I've been speaking... Excuse me.
Sarah, one second.
I've been talking to the parents of these young children that were attacked at a bus stop. Now you being... although it is bad, to try and match the two of someone going on Facebook and calling you a C-U-N... Whatever,
yeah, OK, we
to try
it.
And match that with a 13-year-old girl screaming horrifically while she's watching and being beaten with a cricket bat for being English at a bus stop near a mosque, it's incomparable. So I'm sorry if I don't... whilst it is unjust, fine, it is wrong if people are saying those things on Facebook. Your kids have not been battered at a bus stop for being non-white.
My nine-year-old son, who the school couldn't profile what ethnicity he was because he's so pale skin, was told during a football match, well, at least I'm not a Muslim.
This is the climate, though. But Tommy, I mean, you can't see this.
No, you can't blame me for that. What you have to blame
is... No, one's blaming you.
You have to blame Muslims for that.
But what would... Oh, so it's a Muslim's fault.
You have to blame fellow Muslims.
It's a Muslim's fault that children are being told that their faith and that their beliefs are disgusting.
It's the way that Muslims in this country have acted, some Muslims, that people have that opinion.
A tiny... And you should condemn that, should you?
Of course I can. I always condemn it. It's like you're asking me to do something I do on a daily basis.
You're a paedophile. You're a rapist. You abuse children. I don't do that. I work in a predominantly white office and I have no issues. We all work as equals.
And you're like, yeah.
You never come
can
to
I just...
Tommy.
Yeah, go on, Sarah.
Out when somebody is abusing, whether it's sex, rape, buggery, whatever it is, Tommy, it's got nothing to do with religion.
It does when they start calling her a dirty white pig and they refer to her as inferior. Which has come out in many of these court cases, the reason why they had the view of
they're
her...
They're criminals.
No, the reason why they had that view of her is because she was not a Muslim.
Can you separate cultural malpractice from religious? Can you?
But I don't believe that is cultural. I believe that's religious.
You don't believe that there's a culture that perhaps suggests that in certain Asian communities, in a minority of them, that white girls are somewhat easier white girls dressed in a certain way and
I believe that the religious scripture of Islam teaches that non-Muslims are inferior and the Muslims are superior. And it certainly teaches that women are worth a lot less, and especially non-Muslim women.
Did you know that it was the first religion to actually enshrine the rights of women?
Well, it's gone backwards since then, isn't it?
I believe in Abraham. So why do you have to mislead the people who hold you in high...
How am I misleading? All I do is state facts.
Tommy, please, can you just promise me that you will look at this page and make a statement on it?
Because I promise you I'll look at that page.
Right. And you need to, you know, it's not fair.
Can you promise me that you're going to go and find these young Muslims that have attacked our young English kids at bus stops and you're going to do something about that?
I've looked at that video and...
It's horrific, is it not?
Criminal investigation.
Is it horrific? No, actually, the police have let them off, actually. Because I spoke to the kid's dad yesterday. The police have let them off.
Are the same age. I can...
The police have let them off.
It'd be interesting to know on what basis the police
gave them
off.
The police gave them a caution.
OK, all right. Sarah, we're going to have to leave it there, unfortunately. Let's speak to Azan in London. Good morning, Azan.
Morning, Nihal. Morning, Tommy.
Good morning.
What I'd like to ask is that, I mean, on the website, it pretty much summarises that the EDL are an inclusive movement dedicated to peacefully protesting against Islamic extremism. Yet the group is called the English Defence League. Do you not think it's a bit bad in that sense, because you're separating English from Muslim and Islam?
Yeah, but...
Would you accept that someone can be Muslim and English?
Yeah.
So then why are you called the English Defence League?
Why, would you rather they were called the English Muslim Defence League?
Well, I'd rather you're called...
Or maybe you could set up your own English Muslim Defence League.
Well, there is an Islam Defence League, there's a Muslim Defence League. No one talks about them either.
Anti-Islamic Extremist League, because by saying English...
But you're getting all picky with the name of the word.
But that's an interesting point, though, because if you did call it the Anti-Islamic Extremist League, then that would say to... law-abiding Muslim citizens, tax-paying individuals like Azan, that you're not against him and his faith.
Azan, if you class yourself as English, you should see that the English Defence League is there to defend England. That's it. That's what it says on the tin. We're here.
Yeah, OK, but I get that. But what I'm trying to say is...
Mate, we're going down to a name that we're... What you have to remember is none of this was planned. This evolved and it snowballed out of control in the early days.
So you're clearly against anybody who's non-English?
No, that doesn't say that at all. How would you get... My mum's Irish. What? My mum's Irish.
Said,
my mother is Irish.
Plan it, but what I'm trying to say is I don't really understand, because why is it called the English Defence League if you're against Islamic extremism? Why must nationality be separated from religion?
You're picking up on a name here. We was called the United People of Luton when this first formed, and then it just went boom across the whole country.
The thing is, the name is important, because that name then reflects in your marches. You've got English flags going out, you've got...
Of course we've got English flags going out. We love England.
Azan, would you be comfortable going on an English Defence League march?
Well, I mean... From the area that I come from, Dagenham, I've had marches come near my house, and you know they've beaten up a Muslim guy near my house.
No, he actually spat in the woman's face. I was there. He come out and he spat in an English woman's face.
Okay, well then, okay, fine.
I was there.
It's wrong.
I was there.
Then is the response then immediately to beat the crap out of him?
I'm sorry, if someone spits in my wife's face, yes, it would be.
Is that a fair response?
Well, is it a fair response to spit in someone's face?
Azan, to be fair, if someone spat in your mum's face, for instance, you probably wouldn't go, that's a frightfully bad show.
Why did he spit in her face?
Azan, what was the atmosphere like where you lived when the EDL marched through that area?
It was quite scary, because they marched past my house and then they went to a sort of bar near there and they camped outside. They were obviously chanting EDL. And look, I've got no problem with, you know, this ideas of nationalism. And in that sense, I would classify myself as quite nationalistic and quite really proud to be British. You know, I'm proud for what Britain has stood for.
Good
and
on you.
Those kind of things. And it's wrong that certain groups are trying to come in and they're trying to enshrine their laws and their own religious laws. I'm against religious laws. But by calling yourself the English Defence League, you're separating Islam from England, and that demonises so many Muslims who are also proud to be British.
Well, I don't see how... we have Abdul, yeah? Abdul's proud to be British. He comes to every one of our demonstrations. He's been up on stage. He gives speeches. He talks. He says, I love my country. I love my queen. I love everything about it.
Does he say, I love my faith?
He does. He says he's there to defend Islam.
Right, OK.
You can get his... Go on YouTube.
So then how does he react to the things that you say about the Prophet Muhammad, someone he loves more than he loves his own family?
Yeah. I understand as well, yeah, which is where we are.
What does he say to that?
He doesn't view the Prophet Muhammad's teachings in that way. But then that's fine, and it's great that he doesn't. But what he has to realise...
Well, he's a Muslim. He should probably know more than you. Then.
Yeah, but what he has to realise is there's a lot of Muslims that use what the Prophet Muhammad done to incite violence, and they use his teachings for violence. So when I have a Muslim, and I think, that's brilliant. Yeah, great. Great that you think that way. But you have to accept all these millions that don't think that way and that are using his teachings to incite violence and hatred and intolerance and breed intolerance. And Abdul's at every one of our demonstrations. He's treated like an absolute legend because people love the fact that he's coming out as a Muslim, proud to be English, proud to be British, and he's there, well, he's Scottish actually, but proud to come and represent and stand there. And he's there to put away misconceptions as well.
Okay,
and he's hated by Muslims. They want to kill him.
Okay, let's speak to Nick in Nottingham lastly. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, gents. How are you doing?
I'm very well, mate. What would you like to ask Tommy?
Tommy, I'm glad you've raised the issue of working class. I'm working class. I'm white. I guess you could say, on appearance, I look like white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. I don't actually feel that you represent me. So how many of the working classes do you feel you represent?
I feel I represent the vast majority of working class people who live in towns and cities that are plagued with problems to do with militant Islam. I understand that some working class people who live in an area that is predominantly white and they haven't experienced any of these issues or problems and don't understand what I'm talking about. But everyone who lives in towns and cities, Oldhams, the Bradfords, the Birminghams, the Lutons, the East Londons, all these different areas, get it. They get what I'm saying. It's like when I walk through Luton, I know the feeling I get because I can't walk in one place. If I walk into a pub in anywhere in my town, the whole pub will shake my hand and come over and thank me for what I'm doing. If I didn't get that feeling, when I walk through, the majority of people who shake my hand in Luton are actually black, saying thank you. The women coming up to me, thank you. The Christian women coming up to me, thank you for making a stand. So if I didn't get that feeling, I wouldn't feel like I represent a vast majority of people. But I know a vast majority of people support us in what we say.
Can I just say, we just looked on the website of the Luton Islamic Centre and we didn't find anything that said gays should be killed.
Well, I've got
not a single line.
We've got copies of all of it.
It's not on their website
now because they've took the article down.
Was it an article or was it something that was endorsed by the Islamic Centre?
It's an article that they put on their website. There was 12 pages of statement as to why a woman should be lashed.
It's not on there.
I've got it. I'll send you it. And when I send you it, will you read out what they said on it? And they read out on air.
And now that it's not on there, do you applaud them for taking it off?
For hiding it.
For taking it down.
For hiding the views.
Well, you want Muslims to change. When they do, you then make out that it's like that they're not doing it right.
Quilliam Foundation named loads of mosques, Green Lane Mosque, East London Mosque, as having the same views as Al-Qaeda, but the different routes of getting there.
So they named two mosques, and how many mosques are there in this country?
They named 500 mosques, actually.
In a government leaked, they're extreme.
And the Islamic Centre was one of them.
But it seems as though this morning, every time an example of Muslims trying to change or trying to do something different or trying to prove extremism, that's been taken down. You then say, they're doing it because of this, doing it because you're not allowing Muslims to change. You don't want them to change, do you?
That's been taken down. Yes, of course I do. That's been taken down.
But when they do, then applaud it.
It's because we've highlighted it. What, for taking down? Imagine the English Defence League had an article on website saying kill people. Imagine it did. Now, we don't have a manifesto yet. But
do you go through, you know, English Defence League,
on our
Facebook
website,
challenging people who say Islamophobic things?
I actually don't go on Facebook.
Well, you love a bit of Twitter.
I do. You see the threats that go on Twitter. Everyone can see it. It's there for everyone to see.
Yeah, you retweet them. Yeah. I just want to ask you very quickly, because I know you have to go. When the Islamic Centre in North London was destroyed by fire and a spokesman said that the letters EDL were sprayed onto the building, your reaction was to say what exactly?
That in Luton, my hometown, there was 26 firebombings. They went on for a period of 12 months. Council offices were attacked and the same yellow spray paint sprayed EDL on cars, on houses, everywhere. The local Islamic leader, Imam, stood on local TV and said these are Islamophobic attacks. Our women are scared. Their hijabs are getting taken off. They're getting spat. All this for 12 months, yeah? When the police made arrests for these instances of spraying EDL, they arrested Muslims. Okay. Now, did the police go to press with that? The best the police done to explain this in the press was that this was categorically not in any way linked to anyone.
So you're saying
from
the Somalis burnt their own building?
What I'm saying is, I'm looking at previous and I'm very sceptical that there was no CCTV, that there's no photographic evidence of the letters EDL on the burned wall. I'm very sceptical after hearing.
It tends to be difficult once it's burned down.
Precisely. So how do they know there was EDL on it? If it's difficult once it's burned down.
Well, they may have seen it, then it started burning down, perhaps.
No.
So, you refuse to believe that EDL was sprayed.
I refuse to believe that anyone from the English... It's like if I spray Peter Pan on a wall, it don't mean Peter Pan done it. And it's like burgling a house and on the way out sticking your fingerprint on the window. And it come at a time, just a day after David Cameron said he's going to tackle the EDL. If you ask me, it's very opportunistic. I think the majority of people in this country have seen that for exactly what it is. If counter-terrorism are investigating that, they'll find out who's done it if it's a non-Muslim, won't they? So, and have you heard anything else about that Muswell Hill fire since that day?
Well, it only happened a little while ago. It does take a while to go into an investigation.
It takes a while usually for things to get rebuilt, but 24 hours, bang, it's all up there. Scaffold, everything. State of the art, brand new Islamic Centre.
Can I ask you, because you're a father like I am, Tommy, How are you bringing up your children to think of multiculturalism and belief in other religions and respect for other religions?
My children don't even know what the EDL is.
How old are your kids now?
5, 4 and 2.
Right, so they are very, very young.
I want to shelter them from it as much as I can.
Would you be... What would you tell them that the EDL stands for?
It stands for their freedom.
From...
Domination, subjugation, Sharia.
What will you tell them about Islam?
To be honest, the facts of Islam, the facts of it. It's not peaceful.
So you'll teach them to be brought up, so your children will be brought up thinking of Muslims as violent?
No, they won't, no. I looked at that. When my friend brought his children to my christening...
Muslim friend?
Yeah, yeah. He brought his three children to my kids' christening. And I looked at my kids with his kids and I thought, you know what? And I questioned myself because I thought, I don't want to actually break those bridges looking at the children together. Yeah. But at the same time, I want to protect the future. Yeah. So it's a difficult decision for me at the same time. I haven't taught my kids one thing. My kids won't even know what a Muslim is. You say Muslim, they won't understand any of that.
No, quite at that age. Similar age to my own children.
To be honest, I'm not going to force my views at all on my children.
Yeah? But you are.
They
going
can
to...
educate it. They can be educated in a way where, when they get to a certain age and they start learning, because what we're being taught in the schools, what the schools are teaching about the Islamic history, is not the truth. You're not telling the truth. You're not talking about Muhammad's war past. You're not talking about that he killed. You're not.
I wasn't aware that much Islamic history was taught in British schools in the curriculum.
Yes. Yeah, so all children.
But
have
I,
to
no,
visit.
I want. Part I want to get back because there's a little bit of a contradiction
all
there.
All children visit the mosque
because you are saying that you will. Tell your children that Muslims base their faith on a violent ideology. So you will lead your children to believe, growing up, that Muslims are fundamentally violent.
No, I'm not going to hide the truth from my children.
This
government want to hide the truth, I won't hide the truth.
So all white British parents should be telling their kids that Muslims are violent?
No, all British people in this country should be told the truth about Islam. That's the fact of it. Stop trying to hide it and paint it and brush it up in a different way than it is. The Islamic ideology, people should know they understand the truth.
Well, there are violent tracts in the Bible, aren't there? Are you going to tell them that the Christian church is based on violence and crusading? And are you going to tell your kids that as well?
No.
Are you going to not tell your children that the vast majority of British Muslims are integrated, they pay their taxes, they're law-abiding?
Yeah, of course I'll tell my children that.
At the same time as telling them that actually, though, what they believe is violence.
The Islamic ideology is violent. It's not a lie.
But how do you separate the two?
What do you want me to do? Lie to my kids?
But how do you separate the two?
Shall I lie to my kids?
Yeah, but you're kind of
shall I lie
missing
to my kids?
The point.
The point is, shall I lie to my kids? Why should I lie? Because
it may well be a lie because you're not going to contextualise it in history and when Islam was created and how it was created and how it was spread.
William Gladstone, our previous Prime Minister, he said there will never be peace on this earth so long as we have the Quran. It is a violent and accursed book. Winston Churchill said Islam in a man is like rabies in a dog. Yeah, so
which is hugely offensive.
No,
So will you tell your kids that?
No, what I will.
What are your kids going to be brought up to think of?
Our previous prime ministers have not lied to us.
So your Muslim friends, then you're going to make sure that your kids have nothing to do with them.
No, I'm not.
And are you going to make sure you have nothing? Why do you have Muslim friends when you believe that what they believe is fundamentally violent? How can you have friends like that? I wouldn't have friends like that. If I thought one of my friends walks around headbutting people for fun, I wouldn't have him in my house.
I don't believe they're taking it.
Let alone my kids.
I don't believe that. I'm not stupid. I know not every Muslim's violent. I know not every most Muslim friends I
but
know.
You're
don't
saying
go
they
violent,
are potentially.
They? I'm saying potentially if they follow the Quran to the word, to the literal word. Yes, it is violent.
Tommy Robinson, thank you very much for joining us on the BBC Asian Network this morning.